Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI. We talk to Republicans about the latest news in the Idaho legislature. Now here are Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 8:38. It's a Majority Thursday. Senator Patty Ann Lodge from District 11 is here with us today, along with Jeff Thompson from District 30 in Idaho Falls, also here with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Happy
Good
to
morning.
Be here.
Patty, you are on transportation. JFAC unanimously passed a $52 million emergency road repair plan. Is this a big Band-Aid? How do you feel about this, and obviously necessary?
Well, it's very necessary. It's not going to be enough. I can say that. The roads in Canyon County are just atrocious. Takes me about an hour and a half to get to Boise every morning, a little bit later if I wait late at night to come home. But the roads are very dangerous, and all of the Canyon County legislators have been working together as a team to see what we can do about that three-mile stretch between 11th Avenue and Karcher, which the tie-ups are. You talk about them every morning. It's terrible. And then the road from Karcher to Caldwell, which is so potholed and narrow and dangerous. And the other road that's really, really bad is State Highway 55, which is Karcher Road, which is a main thoroughfare from California and Oregon into the Treasure Valley. We have got to do some work on those roads for safety concerns for our people.
You say $52 million is not enough. Where can you get more, or can you?
Well, we're hoping to be able to work. Senator Brackett, who's chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, has been working very diligently with us to see what we can do to get more money. To fix the road between 11th Avenue and Karcher is about $180 million.
Wow.
And from Karcher to Caldwell, $150 million. The one from Karcher to Caldwell has not had an environmental study done. Sometimes those can take 4 to 8 years. So we're trying to push things through as fast as we possibly can, hoping that the Trump administration will ease up on some of the regulations.
Is this the same $50 million or so that's basically to compensate for the winter we've just had?
No.
Oh, that's different.
I think the $52 million is to try to fix the potholes
right. And
the winter damage.
No, but the $50 million, now that just passed, and that's for some communities that were hard hit by the weather, the snow.
Yes, I think it was at $52 million, something around that.
$52 million.
Does that have to go for roads, or can that go for pretty much anything the community needs?
I have not seen that legislation. It was just passed yesterday, but it is, the way I understand it, it's for the
emergency road funding is what it says. So, amazing.
So we need all the people in Canyon County to join with us to get that safety hazard fixed on Interstate 84 and also Karcher Road.
There's a new bill that says it would give the state sweeping power to protect oil and gas, and that's the oil and gas produced in Idaho. What is the bill basically for?
That is being brought by Senator Abby Lee out of District 9, and she would be one that you'd really need to talk to in the Resource Committee. I don't sit on the Resource Committee.
Neither do I. But if I can, just to add to the roads, I'm extremely happy about the money that has come in, as we've seen in the paper this morning, for the emergency road issues that we have out there. As I drive back and forth from Idaho Falls to Boise every weekend, the roads throughout the state, and especially in Bonneville County, need a lot of work and a lot of repair. And so, as a good senator mentioned, the part of the transportation corridor here in this part of the state, it's throughout the state as well.
Representative, following an impassioned philosophical debate, the Senate refused to pass a resolution calling for Article 5 convention to propose amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Tell us a little bit about your feelings about the House's feelings on this.
I appreciate that. Article 5, I've been part of discussions before. It was actually extremely popular the way it is now. So it's been talked about for many, many years. We've had several experts come into the legislature this year. Former United States Senator from Oklahoma, most recently, we have an individual that'll be speaking tomorrow at lunch as well. There's a lot of passion, as you know, around this issue. And as the Senate voted their feelings yesterday, that's where we're at with it right now. But there are a lot of people. So in my opinion, something needs to be done. We as the states need to say enough is enough, and we need to draw a line in the sand. But it concerns a lot of people at the same time.
What do you predict, if there were a constitutional convention, would be the biggest change?
I would hope that we'd get a handle on spending so that we can protect our children's future and their opportunity to have the same lifestyle we've had. I happen to be one of the ones that voted for it yesterday. It was a resolution. It wasn't a million-dollar tax increase to the people, but there was a lot of passion, a lot of people worried about a runaway convention. Mm-hmm. This is an Article 5. That means an article, an amendment to the Bill of Rights. There's already been 27 of them done. This would be 28. The way ours was stated, it would be just for a balanced budget amendment, except in the case of an emergency like a war, where they'd be able to do something. I thought it was very important for the future of our children, and so I was one in the minority that voted for it, because we have to send a message.
Now, how do you feel about the federal government having a balanced budget?
That's the one we're talking about.
That's the one you're talking about.
We already have to here.
We've always had to. All right, we need to take a break. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
You're listening to Majority Thursday on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:50. It's Idaho Talks Live, Majority Thursday. Speaking with Republicans from the Idaho State Legislature, our guests this morning are Senator Patty Ann Lodge from District 11, Houston, and Representative Jeff Thompson from District 30 in Idaho Falls. There's a new bill that calls for communications between lawmakers, things like emails and phone calls, to be private as opposed to public information. Good idea?
It has a lot of discussion in the halls of the Capitol, for sure. I'm not exactly in favor of it.
Okay.
It's everything needs to be open about what we're doing. Transparency needs to be out there.
Senator?
We haven't seen it yet because it is in the House, but I get, during the session, maybe 500 emails a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep up.
And how big is your staff, Senator?
We have no staff.
Exactly my point.
We have a committee secretary, you know, for our committee, but as for a staff, we have no one. So I can't send anything from my phone right now because it's all tied up.
Right.
And my phone at home's tied up. I just haven't had time to sit down and spend hours getting everything out and reading everything. I try to read everything. I can't answer. Of course, I couldn't answer everything.
Yeah. Do you know the reason why this was brought up in the first place?
I have not heard the background on that.
Okay.
But with all the different discussions that have been happening with public records requests and the different turmoil that the House has been in this year, it doesn't surprise me something like this has appeared.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people say it's out of frustration. People just simply get requests for things, and they can't, like you say, you can't get to your emails, you can't take care of things. Mm-hmm. Representative, K-12 budget, how is that at this point in time, and how do you feel? We got enough money, too much, just right? How is that? Are we hitting a target here?
Well, thank you for that question. The K-12 budget was passed out of JFAC, the Joint Appropriations Committee, a couple of days ago, and that's probably the earliest time in recent memory it has actually been passed. But actually, it's kind of like a miracle that that's passed before March, as it did. March 1st was yesterday, but it has passed. The biggest point that I'm hearing from senators as well as House members is for years we have been discussing having a line item with the health care cost in it. And that line item did not make it through on the budget. It remained in discretionary. And so that's just the biggest concern that I've heard on that. And so, but it's past JFAC and moving forward.
There was apparently a gas tax increase proposed a few weeks ago for about 5 cents, but
That
has not passed.
It has not passed. It was in House Transportation Committee. Mm-hmm. It was presented on a Friday afternoon. It was defeated in committee just barely. another vote or two votes, I believe, it would have probably made it to the House floor.
Senator, how bad does it have to get out there before we find some way to pay to fix these roads? As you said, $52 million is $52 million, but you've got hundreds of millions of dollars in things that need to be done.
Idaho is a huge state, and we are a growing state, and the population increase in just this valley alone and the wear and tear on our roads, the ability to get from one place to another in a timely manner so that people can get to work on time, get back home, spend time with their families, with their kids, being involved in their communities is taken up, spending time on the freeways. And to me, I changed committees this year to be on transportation because I thought it was the top priority that we had to do to make Canyon County a better place to live and work and for people to be able to spend more time out of their cars, behind the out from behind the windshield and with their families and their jobs.
Canyon County's kind of the poster boy, for better or for worse, for bad roads, right?
Right now, we really need the help.
The Education Committee passed, I guess, a bill, or at least sent it through, to alter Idaho's science standards in school. What's that going to do?
I don't have the opportunity to sit on the Education Committee, and therefore I have not actually seen that bill, so I wouldn't be able to really talk about that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you aware of, like, the reasons for it?
I'm on revenue and taxation, business, mm-hmm. and energy, environment, technology. But it's a good point. And when I go back, I'm going to have to find out all the detail on it. But right now, I'm not aware. I know it's been out there. I know there's been a lot of discussion. They tried to pass something. It didn't happen. They mm-hmm. went back to the drawing board. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it's a part of an overall package from the Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Apparently, the big get-together here is the fact that five sections referring to climate change would have to be taken out, and then basically the science standards would go back to what mm-hmm. they were in 2001, I believe. Biggest hurdle to getting out of here sometime this month would be budget.
Transportation.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with the good senator. Transportation and the overall budget. There is a tax reduction bill in the Senate that came from the House over in the Senate now. And so we're having those negotiations between the House and Senate leadership and the governor to bring everything together as one total package. And hopefully that'll get done very quickly.
And there's a couple of new bills that have to do with guns, neither one of them getting rid of them. One of them is for teaching safety courses in Idaho schools, which mm-hmm. seems like a pretty good idea. And I remember when I was in seventh grade, we had gun safety courses, and everybody in the whole school took them. And then the other bill kind of targets Idaho hunting and fishing, and there's going to be a surcharge on Idaho hunting and fishing licenses. Is that just to make some extra money for habitats or something?
I don't serve on resources, so I don't know. But I would say that's what it's for, because the elk feeding and the big game feeding cost a lot of money this year in order to save the animals. So they're right. probably looking at that.
Senator, Representative?
Of course, I would agree with the senator on that issue. Right. Of course, I'm a lifetime member of the NRA, but we don't need to bring gun bills every year.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time this morning on KBOI.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Thank you.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right. KBOI News Time, 9:07. 34 degrees, sunny. Top congressional.
You can just call me Chris, actually.
Yeah, okay, Sonny. I mean, Sonny Chris. Gee, that's me. No, that's Sonny Jim. Top congressional Republicans have begun calling, Republicans, not Democrats.
Yeah.
Have begun calling today for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from any investigation mm-hmm. of the Trump campaign's contacts with Russia after revelations that Sessions met with the Russian ambassador to the United States while advising the Trump campaign and did not disclose those meetings during his confirmation hearing. Ohio Senator Rob Portman said today, Jeff Sessions is a former colleague and a friend, but I think it would be best for him and the country if he recused himself from the DOG Russia probe.
Yeah, Raul Labrador, Debbie just texted me and said she saw Raul Labrador on television saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty much going to be the Republican opinion now.
They're kind of lining up. Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, said AG Sessions should clarify his testimony and recuse himself. Representative Daryl Issa of California, chaired the Oversight Committee before Chaffetz, said the news breaking overnight reaffirms what I called for last week. We need an independent review by a credible third party. Attorney General Sessions should recuse himself. I mean, they're lined up. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California, another one who's asking for him to recuse.
What we are hearing this morning is that people do think there is a distinction between actually lying to a congressional committee or a Senate committee and letting the fact that you talk to people on the phone slip your mind.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure does happen. I mean, it does. Like, for instance, if you and I talk...
Not Russians, Chris.
If you and I talk to Russians, I think we'd remember it for a while.
Yes.
But, you know, these people talk to everybody. So I don't know if necessarily he was... When he said he didn't talk to Russia, I don't know whether he was lying or just forgot that he talked to Russia. But...
Well, apparently it's been within the last 6-8 months. So...
Yeah, so,
you'd think
well,
he'd remember.
Maybe.
Sessions today, this morning... Told NBC News, I have not met with any Russians at any time to discuss any political campaign.
They had
that trailer there.
Met with.
Yeah, have not met with, in other words, face-to-face.
Right.
We're talking phone calls here, right?
Yeah, apparently no FaceTime or Skype.
He also repeated his prior statements that he will recuse himself from an investigation if it becomes necessary. Sessions, who was a U.S. senator from Alabama, and Trump campaign advisor when he met with the Russian ambassador, has denied discussing campaign-related matters with the Russian officials. I never met with any Russian officials, but then he goes to discuss issues of the campaign.
But let's say that if you're in the Senate, if you're in the U.S. Senate, I think you have a tendency to talk with people from all over the world about a variety of subjects.
I would agree with that.
One would hope that you do remember every encounter, but the chances are he didn't. He didn't tell the committee this simply because he didn't discuss the things that they were interested in talking about.
Yeah.
I talked to a Russian guy, but big deal. I said hi.
Yeah, Sessions. Yeah,
hi in Russian.
I can't think of what that is.
All I know is Dos Vidanya, but I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what the allegation is about. And then to use one of the Republicans' favorite words, it is false. Mm-hmm. Sessions did not disclose contact with Russian ambassador. The Justice Department says many denials have been made of these contacts.
Yeah.
Sessions was asked directly during his confirmation hearings whether he had any contact with Russian officials while serving as an advisor to Trump, said he did not.
Well, okay. Now, here's an instant message from, this just came in from Bob. He says, the accusations about Jeff Sessions are BS. The time he talked with a Russian was in his capacity as a senator. The other time it was at the Heritage Foundation with many people present. So in his role as an advisor, his answer is still no.
And once again, these are Republicans. Not Democrat, although some Democrats.
Well, they're just saying,
have called on him to resign from office.
But it's on their own. It's for their own good, really. They don't want this to look like another big scandal or something like that. And it may not be. There may not be any scandal to it. There may be nothing to it. But they don't want it to look like a scandal. So they say, Sessions, you know, don't be in charge of investigating yourself. Just recuse yourself.
Yeah.
Which it might be the proper thing to do.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Should he recuse himself? Should he consider resignation? Should he do nothing?
I think if that is actually true, that the only time he spoke to anybody Russian was in other government capacities, you know, because he didn't just appear out of nothing,
right?
And start being a Trump advisor. He was a senator and all this stuff. So in his capacity as a senator, I think anything he did there was probably fine. If you're at a Heritage Foundation event with a bunch of people present, you talk to some Russians again, that's not going to be particularly memorable, probably. However, I think the question they really wanted to know was, during the time you've been advising Trump, have you talked to the Russians about the campaign? And his answer was, I haven't.
So
he,
what should he do? Nothing?
He probably didn't. I mean, it's not like he hasn't talked to Russians at some point. You know, and the president said, well, I haven't dealt with Russia in a long time. And it turned out, well, it was about 6 years ago, but still, it wasn't about winning an election. It was about something else.
Should he do nothing? Should he recuse himself? Should he resign?
I think if I were him, I would recuse myself, but I would not resign.
Yeah. Well, of course, Nancy Pelosi
wants him to resign.
Yeah. After lying, here's what she said.
Not a surprise at all.
No. Here's what she said. After lying under oath to Congress about his own communications with the Russians, the attorney general must resign. Sessions is not fit to serve as the top law enforcement officer of our country and must resign.
Well,
there must be independent, bipartisan, outside commissions to investigate the Trump political, personal, and financial connection to the Russians.
Okay. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, she's going to say that.
She's not going to say, give him a hug.
Yeah. You know, that's in fact, if she didn't say something like that, chances are she wouldn't be doing her job.
Yeah.
However, again, I'm going to stay with that. If it were me, I would say, well, I'll recuse myself because, you know, I'm not going to be investigating something that I did. However, I'm still okay with it if he, you know, yes, I talked to Russians. No, I didn't talk about what you're concerned with.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, Democrat, of course, said Attorney General Sessions had weeks to correct the record he made before the Judiciary Committee. He let the record stand. There cannot even be the scintilla of doubt of the impartiality and fairness of the Attorney General, the top law enforcement official in the land.
That there has been forever. Mm. So, you know, try to find an impartial person when it comes to anything.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily sticking up for Jeff Sessions. I mean,
no.
You know, he's got a lot of things that don't make him exactly the perfect attorney general. But was this simply lying under oath, or was this, you know, omitting information that really had no bearing?
I think, though, that if you're the attorney general, and I think you should recuse him. So yeah. I'll go on.
Okay, like one of my best friends is a lawyer in Baltimore. And if somebody said to me, have you talked to any lawyers in Baltimore about this and this and this? I would say, well, of course, I would probably say, yes, I have a friend who is a lawyer in Baltimore.
Sure.
And last July, I remember wishing him happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now, I can get you a record of that if you like.
Yeah, I did meet with him face to face. We did not discuss anything
right
above a personal nature. But if you are the attorney general of the land, you need to know what to say and how to say it.
Yeah, I mean, if the attorney general, much like the president, much like the vice president, very much like the secretary of state, shouldn't just be saying things like, whoopsie.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a little bit more responsibility than that.
That guy was from Russia? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did. No,
I'm completely confused. I thought he was from the Ukraine.
Yeah. Sessions live on CNN now just said, I will recuse myself. Actually, he said that earlier this morning as well.
But he added, if I need to.
Yeah,
which means I'm not going to do it right this second.
Yeah, exactly. All right. KBOI News Time, 9:17.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Paul Jay and Chris on a Thursday morning, KBOI rewards code, RECUSE, RECUSE. Go to 670 KBOI, enter RECUSE, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Good morning. This is Sheldon wrote in to say good morning. I'm not a fan of Raul Labrador or Jason Chaffetz, but I will be the first to pay them or pat them, I guess it's supposed to be pat them on the back, because pay them on the back doesn't make sense, for doing their job, albeit their response is a little light considering the avalanche of hysteria they threw at Hillary Clinton. Well, they are Republicans and she was a Democrat. That kind of happens. That
it's figures. True. And it's funny to see the shoe on the other foot now, though.
Yeah.
I agree with Sheldon there. Rich yesterday going, how are you going to pay for that? Mm-hmm. That's all we've heard for the last 8 years from the Republicans. Well, how are you going to pay for that?
I guess there's going to be a little deficit spending before that gets all turned around.
Yeah.
And by a little, I mean a lot. Now, Sheldon goes on to say town halls work, even if our representative is too chicken to do one. Well, if you watch some of those last week, I kind of can feel a little bit of sympathy for somebody being too chicken to have a town hall.
Yeah.
Because essentially the people were just getting yelled at.
So if you work now, I think one of the maybe worst places, I don't want to say a place where you would not particularly want to have planned your future.
Okay.
Would be with the Environmental Protection Agency. A wide slew of EPA programs could be under the knife to meet President Donald Trump's budget proposal requirements, a source told CNN News. The source spelled out details of an Office of Management and budget proposal that would cut the EPA's budget by 24% and reduce its staffing by 20%. So one out of five EPA employees, gonzo if this goes through. Some of the EPA's most longstanding and best-known programs are facing potential eliminations, including initiatives aimed at improving water and air quality, as well as a number of regulations tasked with reducing the nation's greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah. I never know where to draw the line. Apparently there are plenty of politicians who know exactly where to draw the line, but I never know where to draw it between, on the one hand, you know, taking for granted enjoying the fresh air and clean water, and on the other hand, stifling business in some way so that we're all broke.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, you know, the EPA is the only thing causing that.
But you would like to, as I would think, there's a harmony there somewhere.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think there is a mid-range where, okay, we have somebody in charge of clean water. I like clean water. We have somebody in charge of clean air. It's good to breathe. If you've ever not been able to, like you last week,
right. You
know darn well that it's better to breathe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you know, whether necessarily we need an agency for that or... I guess if you just leave it up to business, though, that's what they used to do, and it didn't go very well.
No. Other programs include the Environmental Justice Program, which is meant to help local communities grapple with environmental concerns, and Global Change Research, a program funded by several agencies, including the EPA, which reports humans' impact on the planet.
Yeah, which is not really a big Republican cause.
No, they're not lining up to support that.
No, and if they're scratching out the lines that mention it in textbooks, then they're definitely not going to support it.
Yeah, like they do here in Idaho.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break. It's 9:26. We'll be back. We'll talk about more bricks to fall, perhaps, in the EPA.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, talking about some of the EPA programs that the President Trump's budget could knock off.
Right.
Yeah. The Clean Power Plan could also be recommended for cuts. It's an initiative by former President Barack Obama meant to reduce carbon emissions from each state.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to reduce karma.
Yeah. 14 separate EPA partnership programs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions could also be on the chopping block. And I'd say probably will.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the chopping block.
Well, they're going to look at the EPA, and I know there are several people who just want to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah,
but I think what they're going to do is look at it and say, okay, what things are not completely 100% necessary?
And a lot
what
of
are,
stuff.
What
you
are
don't
the priorities?
Understand.
Now, again, clean air, clean water. I like that, but I'm sure there are a few things that, on which they are spending money that are unnecessary. because, you know, it is, after all, government.
All right. Here's some other programs. Let's see how you like these.
All right.
Among the programs up for elimination, according to CNN, multi-purpose grants to states and tribes, Energy Star grants, Science to Achieve Results, or STAR graduate fellowships, the Diesel Emissions Reduction Act, and initiatives aimed at environmental protections along the U.S.-Mexican border.
Some of those things sound like they're a very good idea. A few of them sound like, you're trying, well, it sounds like you're giving too much help to a certain group of people and not others.
Yeah.
Maybe. However, yeah, I'm thinking all of those probably could go. But I don't know. It's like I said, keep the water clean, keep the air clean, or as clean as possible. You know, I'm not talking like Shanghai clean. Keep it clean like,
but there's always,
you know, middle America clean.
There's always,
not Chicago,
business wanting to stretch it a little bit to their side.
Well, yeah.
And the environmental people, they're wanting to stretch it a little bit to their side.
To be absolutely fair, Donald Trump ran on stretching out business opportunities, you know, making the world better for making money.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me that he wants to cut some of these things that he considers to be unnecessary.
And both candidates, so in the end anyway, worked to save coal mining in West Virginia. Now, some of the grants recommended for elimination could be matching grants for local projects around the country. And we all know, Chris, how matching grants for local projects around the country work.
Yeah. Do what we say and we'll give you money.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to say extortion or ransom.
Yes.
But, yeah, those.
Ken Cook, head of the Environmental Working Group, an advocacy and research organization, told CNN the Trump administration has decided fence line communities across the country whose residents already bear an outside burden, that's outsized burden, from pollution are on their own to take on the big polluters. The EPA did not return a request for comment about the recommendation for budget cuts and staff reduction.
Well, okay, and
nor did the White House.
And again, kind of a conflict, a little conflict in the head here, because, you know, who needs pollution? Who wants pollution?
Well, nobody in their right mind.
Nobody. Now, in an industrial age, which, by the way, we're still in, you do have pollution.
Yep.
But it's nice if you can cut it down as much as possible. On the other hand, you know, don't go broke doing that.
Yeah. Now, alternative energy sources, solar, wind, whatever, have tended to be ineffective and expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be.
But clean.
Yeah. You know, the. Remember atomic power?
Yeah,
how it works, how clean it is, unless you have an accident.
Oh, it's perfect
unless
there's a mishap.
Yeah,
and if there's a mishap, that could be catastrophic for, you know, centuries. But if there's not, it's great.
Yeah, it is. So what we need to do is find an atomic energy source that never pollutes. John Colquitt, a campaign director of the progressive environmental group Sierra Club, calls the plan ludicrous, says the administration will not be able to get sign-off on big cuts from the legislative side. He also argues that zeroing out the environmental justice program, which focuses on fair protection from environmental and health hazards for people of all races and income, has racial motivations. Now, fair protection from environmental and health hazards for people of all races and incomes. How do you translate that? Is that like Flint, Michigan's water? That kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, a lot of these places where things are environmentally not so good, a lot of them are highly populated by minority groups.
Okay.
But simply it's because they're in poor areas. You know, I mean, if you're a billionaire and your water isn't good, you go change it. Now, and it's easy. And but if you're poor and your water isn't good, you tend to drink bad water.
Now, we've had this argument in the past.
Yeah.
Is it the minorities or is it the poor people?
Well, they because of the way...
It's a tough one.
Yeah, but because of the time at which certain people came to this country, the way that certain groups came to this country, for instance, under duress, and the laws that were made after those groups were able to settle different places, and this is practically every minority group, there's a higher percentage of poor people in the minority groups than there are in the majority group.
Yeah.
A much higher percentage, and that's changed a little over time, but it hasn't changed drastically.
Colquitt goes on to say, to cut environmental justice programs at EPA is just racist. I can't imagine it's an office that runs up much cost. I have no idea. I can't describe it in any other terms than a move to leave those communities behind. I can't imagine what the justification would be other than racism. The sizable cuts won't play well around the country, he says, and he says Congress will not go for this. We'll be back. All right, we are back. Let's go to the phones on this Thursday morning. Joanne of Eagle. Joanne, good morning.
Oh, yes. I wanted to mention about the EPA. We watched the people being airlifted out of Weezer, at least, six or seven families. And fortunately, they were all airlifted. But they said that they had wanted a dam in that area, but the environmentalists would not allow it. And this is why people are so against the EPA, because they do things like that. And not to mention that place where they let all that refuse out of the mines and polluted that river in the Midwest. I don't remember where it was. But anyway, I just wanted to mention, but I enjoy your program very much.
Thanks, Joanne.
Okay, thanks, Joanne.
There's
a lot of things with, like, dams and things, which have come and go. What is that snail that they had? And then recently, last summer, when the drought was so bad in California, they couldn't wash any water. What was it, through Sacramento or something like that, because of the snail darter?
Very quickly here, Tim of Nissa says, you guys complain about wood stove smoke in Ada County and ban burning, and you call the EPA heavy-handed. I don't think we really said the EPA was heavy-handed. We said it would be nice if we can prioritize what we need to do and what we don't need to do and reduce costs. And I don't think we've really complained.
We haven't had an opinion one way or the other on the EPA at all this morning.
We haven't complained that much about wood stove smoke. I mean, I personally like the smell of it, but I understand that, when it's all hanging over the city, that's probably not a good thing. But,
well, I've lived here for more than 50 years, and I can tell you, that the winters 50 years ago, when everybody burned coal in the North End, man, you couldn't see the mountains for 3 months in the wintertime.
So it is a little better now.
Oh, it's much better now. And, I think there need to be some controls. And in fact, no burning days, I get that. I mean, completely get that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve.
Good morning. You know, you guys are hitting a nerve here. The EPA needs to be temporized some way. They seem to have too many people that want to control things, and they don't have any industry in that group, or very little if they have any. And so what you need to do is balance clean environment with the needs or the living conditions of humans. And I understand animals, but when you make an exception for like a snail darter, or something that's just an obscure going to die anyway, you don't need to save it. There's, 25,000 species a year that go extinct?
Something like that, And somebody said, I saw the other day that half of the animals on the earth have died in the last 100 years, half of the species.
And that's just because we're watching it now. And that's what I say. The whole EPA needs to be balanced and tempered. And I think they've gotten, anytime you get a government agency, they just get too big and keep growing the budget.
I think the EPA probably believes they are balanced and tempered. But I think business believes it to a certain extent that balanced and tempered would mean, okay, give us some rules to follow, but don't make them too difficult.
Well, and that's the problem, you know, when you start spending, you know, umpteen million, and then they come in and fine you $6 or $7 million.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I understand cleanup and stuff, but they've gotten too big and too powerful, in my estimation.
Right. Thanks, Steve. Yeah. It's the balance between business and environment.
Right.
And it's almost like the abortion issue, you know, on one side or the other, because environmentalists, non-environmentalists think environmentalists want to stop all progress.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, I can't make a living because you told me I can't step on a snail. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig Aboisi says, as I see it, the fundamental problem is that governmental agencies' rulemaking has gotten to the point where unelected, overzealous bureaucrats with an agenda have effectively usurped the power and responsibility of our duly elected representatives in Congress. That is antithetical to the way our government is designed to work and unacceptable. That's true. People who are appointed are not supposed to have more power than the people who are elected.
That's also true. It'll be interesting. It's not going to be as easy as a lot of people think to get things done because of Congress. Congress is not going to sign off on a lot of this stuff.
William of Garden City says the EPA is an agency that has imposed rules that are the same as law that have restricted business. It takes 5 years to get a timber permit. Didn't the representative that was on this morning say it will take 4 to 8 years to get the environmental impact survey done to widen the freeway where we already have a freeway?
Yeah, and basically to go from, four lanes full of potholes to six lanes or whatever could take up to 8 years to get the impact statement.
Wow.
So it's not quick. They're not going to get the thing done quickly as they need to. All right, Open Phones Friday coming up tomorrow, and we'll talk about whatever's on your mind. We'll also have the Democrats in at 8:30 tomorrow on a Minority Friday. And then the rains will move in for the weekend, and we can all stay inside again and look out the window, according to Roland.
I think you make good plans.
Yeah. 9:56. You're listening to KBOI Boise.